Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there also. The live video feed. Glad to have you along for the ride. The Joe Pags Show on your Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Crazy Train Tuesday.
I.
That's Carrie Lockie. Carrie, what's going on? You good?
Fine.
No? Glad to have you here. Lots going on, lots to get to. We've got Brigitte Gabriel, bottom of hour number two. Going to talk about, why is Iran in Venezuela? What's the story there? Carrie, wouldn't you like to know why Iran is in Venezuela?
I would, yeah.
Like to know why, what their deal is, what their vantage point is. Iran versus Israel. That looks like that's bubbling up. And then some say there's a ceasefire. So others say there's not a ceasefire. We'll find out exactly what is going on from Brigitte. And we go off the beaten path a little bit, too. We do that as well. Adam Kennedy, a little bit later on, is a deputy assistant to the president, deputy director of communications from the White House. We'll talk about Bill Barr and the idea that some representatives are saying, well, we have to impeach Trump or else he's going to get reelected. That's not the reason for impeachment. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't think that's historically and traditionally the reason why you would use impeachment. But at least you're being honest about why they want to impeach. But Bill Barr, did he lie? They're going to be holding him in contempt of the House or some crap. Nancy Pelosi said he did lie, but she can't say how he lied. So we'll get into all of that. We do want to start out, though. There's something going on in Colorado. And, Carrie, I know that you're on this. You've been on this all day. Some sort of a shooting somewhere. Fill us in on what we have. We'll talk about this, certainly get into some other stuff as well.
This is from the latest from the Denver Post. Two suspects are in custody, and 7 to 8 people were injured following a shooting Tuesday afternoon at the STEM school in Highlands Ranch. And that, according to Douglas County Sheriff's officials, police are still searching the school, but do not believe there are any other suspects. Douglas County Undersheriff Holly Nicholson Cluth said at a news conference, deputies are clearing the school, which has about 1,850 students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Room by room, she said. At the reports of shots fired came at 1:53 p.m., according to a Douglas County Sheriff's Office tweet. And deputies and police officers who already were on scene almost immediately, Nicholson Cluth said. And they entered the school, found some sort of struggle, and took two suspects into custody, Nicholson Cluth said. The sheriff's officials have not described the extent of the injuries, but have not reported any deaths. The Littleton Adventist Hospital says it has received 5 patients from the shooting. 4 are in serious condition. 1 is in fair condition, the hospital reported. About a mile away, parents are gathering at the Northridge Recreation Center as they wait to be reunited with their children. And the scene chaotic with cars parked in bike lanes inside, hundreds of parents checking their phones for updates from their children, law enforcement, and the media.
So we're going to keep an eye on that. We're going to figure out what's going on out there. When you say the word Littleton, obviously we think about Columbine. That's where Columbine was, right? Littleton, Colorado?
Yes. And I know this school, I don't know the distance, but it is not far from Columbine High School.
Columbine still exists. They did not level Columbine. Is it still there?
It's still there, yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to keep an eye on that. We certainly would never want to hear about it. And yes, I will send thoughts and prayers. I will always do that. And certainly we want to find out how somebody gets on campus allegedly with a gun. And do we know if there are armed guards there? Do we know if there are any good guys with guns there? Do we have any clue about what the security setup is or no?
I don't. Just from what the story said, it seems like some of the sheriff's deputies were on scene almost immediately. So I don't know if they were already on campus. As far as, you know, school security goes, I don't know. I'll have to check on that. But they were on the scene almost immediately, so I don't know how far away they were.
I mean, I'll throw out the generic question. Right. I will throw out the generic question I always do when we hear about a shooting, a school shooting, a senseless shooting. Most shootings are. And what do you do about it? Because the knee-jerk reaction will be for the left now to say, see, you need gun control. Well, again, when a bad guy shows up with a gun, generally speaking, they're not following the laws. To shoot somebody because you feel like it at school is against the law. So it's not like more laws will stop people who are breaking the law from breaking the law. That's never going to be the answer. It's like saying, listen, I know that it was against the law to rob a bank yesterday, but today we're making it really, really, really against the law. And people will still rob banks because the initial robbing of the bank, the initial action was already illegal. So it's not like making more things illegal or making, you know, putting more rules, regulations, and restrictions on good guys is going to fix anything. The good guys already aren't doing it. It's the bad guys. So how do you weed them out? How do you figure out who has the propensity to do this? How do you figure out you know, how to stop people from stealing firearms or and so on. By the way, wanted to say hello to Deputy Rangel, Comal County, Texas. Deputy Rangel, hey, how you doing?
I wonder why you're saying hi to the deputy.
Saying hi. Hung out with him for a bit yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Because you got stopped because you're going too fast? I know, that's why.
Did I say that? I didn't say that.
No, I'm assuming that? Because it that? Happens
Maybe
a
I saw him at the coffee shop. Maybe I saw him at the Taco Bell.
You don't go do anywhere, you know? But home in the gym, so no.
And your point is
what? You see him at the coffee
if
shop.
I don't go anywhere, how did I get
speeding.
Stopped? Thank you.
You were going to the gym,
busted.
I'm sure.
Busted.
You were speeding. No, you were busted. Yeah.
Deputy Rangel, you're doing a great job out there. You stay safe, buddy. Why you got to give me a hard time?
I'm sorry. You need to
you
slow down.
You have no
down.
Idea why I had contact with the police yesterday.
I think I do. Yeah, I think I do.
You don't know. You
I
don't
do know. I do.
So anyway, Deputy, you stay safe. You say, cool guy. Good guy.
I bet, yes.
Smart guy.
No,
very knowledgeable. Had a great conversation. Learned a lot from Deputy Rangel of the Comal County Sheriff's Office.
That's speed limit.
He's a good man.
Uh-huh.
Why are you giving me a hard time?
I'm sure. Okay. It's good. It's
I
good.
Know I'm in trouble when I say, you know, hi, Joe Pag, the little radio show, Joe Pags. And he doesn't really react. I know I'm in trouble.
Do you really say that?
No, I don't say, hey, do you know who
hey,
I am?
Hey, I'm on the radio. I'm a superstar. I'm a radio superstar.
Oh, I'd like to get my double latte. I am Carrie Lockie on the radio. I mean, I know that's what you do.
I do not say that, no.
Double chai mocha latte, vente local mocha, latte mocha.
No.
But, I need the chocolate latte for the chocolate voice. You know me, Carrie Lockie. Some call me Lagoon on the radio. So it's, but again, Deputy Rangel, good man, hardworking man, and God bless him.
Community.
Stay safe.
Telling people to slow
down.
Oh,
he's absolutely
down.
Looking out for the people, something that you don't do. Why do you keep saying slow down? You don't know anything.
I do know. I'm almost positive. That's why he stopped you yesterday.
You assume when I show support for law enforcement that you know I always show support for.
Yes, that's true. But when you go
you
out of your way and you name a deputy.
I know Chief McManus. He's never pulled me over for speeding. All right, so see, you're all
does
wet.
The
you don't know.
Pull over speeders? I don't know.
I don't know.
So,
I don't know. He told me he'd pull my ass over if he saw me speeding, but that's never happened.
Oh,
so let's not make assumptions. They make an ass out of you and you. So don't make an assumption.
No, I'm going to in this case because I know I'm right. Slow it down.
Is what I think. All right, so 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Simple fact is bad guys don't care about laws. Simple fact is more laws, more regulation, more control, more authority over us, my authority, that is only going to apply to the good guys. If you tell me there's another law, I'll abide by it. Not probably, I just do. Except sometimes with the lead foot, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Not often.
Mm-hmm.
Not often.
Oh, yes.
Once in a great long while.
Every
once
time
every
you
7 years.
Get in the
years,
car. Mm.
I go 56 and a 55. That's it.
Why are you lying to the people you say you love?
I only buy cars that can go the speed limit.
I know that's not true. True.
You've seen my cars. They're all speed limit cars.
No, they're
so,
really not. But
they kind of, no, some would say they are. But the laws only are for good guys. Because good guys aren't robbing banks. Because it's morally wrong and there's a law against it. Good guys aren't killing innocent people because it's morally wrong and there's a law against it. Good guys aren't showing up on campus with a gun and shooting people because that's immoral and there are laws saying you can't do that. So adding more laws will only further restrict good law-abiding citizens. So what do you do? Does anybody really have a semblance of an answer close to something you go, oh, yeah, I didn't thought about that. I would love to hear your thoughts. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We're coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. Lots I want to get into. Carrie, if you don't mind, grab me something on the tariffs and the China stuff. It's some of the headlines on Drudge. I know that. I guess they're, holy crap, the whole economy is going to take a dump. Now, here's an economy that has been flourishing for more than 2.5 years. It's been flourishing. Well, actually, for 2.5 years, not more than. It's been going nuts. You've got unemployment rates the lowest we've seen in generations. You've got people at work to the tune of you've got more jobs than people available to fill them. You've got an incredible economy where people have more money in their paychecks and getting raises and bonuses. Yet the president plays hardball with China, who's been screwing us on tariffs and taxes for a long time. And somehow the president is the bad guy. Carrie, that is the message we're getting, right? He's the bad guy?
Yes, I believe so. I've heard that.
And he's gonna, even though we're seeing historic highs in the Dow Jones and in the stock, and I don't pay attention to stock market that much.
No,
we're
not
seeing
today.
Historic highs. Well, I mean, we're seeing it go down some because of this,
right.
And it's being driven down by the negative news by people who are saying he's doing the wrong thing. I guess I'll never understand how Americans can be for China fleecing us and screwing us in taxes and tariffs and for us not to respond. I get because we like to go to Walmart and buy cheap Chinese stuff. Is that why? Or they just don't like Trump. I mean, I guess it could be both. We'll talk about that in a little while. Carrie's got that story for you. In the meantime, let me go to the phone lines. What do you do? Good guys already follow laws. Good guys already do. So changing laws will not change anything that Carrie does or that Polo does or Sam or Russell or I do. It won't change because we're the good guys. It's going to, these laws, actually, it will change how we act because we'll follow them. The bad guys aren't following the laws as it is. If you illegally have a gun, you're breaking the law. If you bring a gun onto a school campus, you're not allowed to have it, you're breaking the law. If you shoot somebody with it, you're breaking the law. If you rob a bank, you're breaking the law. Rob a convenience store, breaking the law. Shoot at some innocent person, breaking the law. Drive-by shooting, breaking the law. Dealing drugs, breaking the law. People who break the law already are breaking the law. So if you add laws, how are you going to affect change in their behavior? Carrie, you think they break all these laws and they say, holy crap, they passed a new law. I'm going to start following that one.
No, I don't think that's their line of thought.
Does that make sense?
No.
Perhaps I should have asked Deputy Rangel.
I had an answer for you, I'm sure.
When you assumed I was talking to him on the side of the road.
Yes, I did. Maybe presenting
him with my identifying documents.
Mm-hmm. License
yes, I have insurance
please.
On the car, sir.
Yes.
Yes, I have a valid license. You don't have to tell people every time I have to show them my license, which is not very often. I barely ever have to take my license out. Uh-huh. Almost never. It never, ever happens where I'm driving in the road and just get pulled over because the car looks like it's going fast. So I have to say this every time. I ran it over.
You ran it over?
Yes. Have you not seen my driver's license?
No.
Then you can't see. I'm going to show it to the screen.
Well, I can't see
I'll try not to give
it.
You any identifying markings.
Let's be careful with that.
It's crooked. The people watching on the webcam. Actually, I'm showing you. Hold on.
I think I remember this story.
See this? Look at that.
Let me see.
And the picture is amazing. Whoa, look at that black hair.
So you say. Maybe you need to go get another shot.
But no, this is, it's crooked, it's bent. And I hand it to them, and they go, sir, what the hell is this? And I have to say, I ran it over. Do you remember what happened?
I think I do. Didn't you leave your wallet on top of your car when you were at the gas station?
Perhaps.
Maybe something like that. Yeah. Dude, go to the DMV and get another
one. I'm not going because I like the picture.
And it will show your hair color. It is today.
which
that is real.
Which is great. I actually have my ears lowered, so actually it looks, well, I don't know. It's just a little guy here. But
you can get a new one and still keep the same picture.
Yeah, I want the picture.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it online, and you can just request a new one and use the same picture.
How old is this picture?
We'll see if that's true.
I've never known you with black hair.
Yeah. Yes,
not
you
since,
have. You
not
have
since
known me
we've
with
been
black
working
hair.
Together. I've seen pictures
Carrie,
of you.
Carrie,
as far as I've been working
Carrie,
with you, what?
My hair was jet black until I met you. Let's be honest.
Don't blame me for that.
All of this befell me in the past 12 years.
It's not my fault. You need a new picture.
I was John Travolta in
the DMV.
Staying alive hair. So, yes, I did. I ran it over. What happened was I had the wall on the top of the car,
mm-hmm.
put the gas in the car, and as everybody knows, when you put gas in the car, you have to floor it just to sort of blow the carbons out.
You don't have
and
to.
I never do that.
I'm pretty
sure you have to.
Gas
I think it's in the owner's manual. Please floor the car after putting some gas in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I took off, and I'm looking for my wallet. I'm going, oh, damn, I can't find my wallet. And I went back thinking that I put the wallet maybe up on a gas thing, and then I was like, oh, somebody has my wallet.
Yeah.
And as I'm going down the road again, the same way I left, I see credit cards and things flying on the side of the road. I'm like, well, there's no way it's mine. I get out, find my wallet, every credit card. It's almost as if somebody magically cut them all in half so I couldn't use them. The driver's license is just crushed and mangled, and I uncrushed and unmangled it. The wallet part is just done. I mean, there was, Carrie, I'm walking, it was a good half mile that I had to cover.
Well, hey,
just,
you got to get
finding
credit cards
crap
now.
On the side of the road.
Yes,
oh, yeah, I had to get all my
that.
Stuff. So, but I don't want to turn it in. I like my license, so I have to, when I hand it to the, and I may have to show it to people every once in a while, I have to say I ran it over.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, well, how exactly do you run over your driver's license?
And
I have to tell them the whole stupid story.
Yeah.
And usually it's like, that's one of the greatest stories I've heard today. Listen, if you could sign right here. So.
I know.
And it's like, I just told you the whole story. I give you story time. I did a talk show on the side of the road. I can't, you know what I mean?
Oh, you're going too fast.
Okay.
Slow down.
Is that okay?
And you won't get stopped.
by that kind.
Thank you, Deputy. Let me go to the phone lines. Say hello and welcome to line one. It's Gerald in San Antonio. Gerald, talk to me.
Hey, how are you? Like the show, man.
Thank you. What's happening?
You're doing good.
Thank you.
Comment here that you probably heard this before, maybe not. But, you know, they say that if there's a bombing, the media blames the bomber.
Right.
If there's a shooting, the media blames the gun.
Exactly right. Hey, it's the same thing with a fire. If it's a fire, the media blames the arson. If it's a stabbing, the media blames the stabber. No, you're absolutely right. The gun is the villain. The car never is. The bomb never is. The knife never is. But the gun always is, because the media, for some reason, wants the federal government to take away our ability to have guns. And they can't explain why. They just do.
Yes, sir. We ain't going
to
happen in Texas.
Well, we say that, Gerald, and we hope that that's true, but a lot of people coming from outside of Texas into this state, and they're trying to make it the way that was where they came from. We got to be very, very careful. It's an open line at 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. To Minnesota, it's going to be Kathy. Kathy, what's going on?
So in Minnesota, the Democrats have new gun laws that they're trying to push through, and I went down to the hearing, and what I noticed is they really are targeting the legal gun owners. The Hennepin County prosecutor spoke about that it's way more effective for them to take guns off the street because it reduces the number of guns, and then he believes gun crime will reduce. He literally said they don't even enforce and prosecute existing gun laws. They end up negotiating them down to misdemeanors, small fines. They don't even enforcing the current laws. And then the second person who spoke was the police chief from Bloomington, Minnesota. And again, they're trying to push so that you can only transfer guns through gun shops. In Bloomington, they've driven all the gun shops out. So they're just really targeting legal gun owners and making it really difficult to own guns legally.
Well, and what they're doing is they're making it difficult for the good guys to defend and respond and react, and they're making everybody sitting ducks. They have to know this, and they want everybody to be incumbent upon the government to protect them. Look, first responders do just that. They respond. They don't react. When somebody's breaking into my house, I should have the ability to react right then and there. Then I'll get somebody to come and respond. Either they don't understand that, or they just want government power and control. And you'll notice that everybody in government is always protected by good guys with guns, and it makes them feel comfortable talking about taking guns away from you.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. Appreciate you. Thank you. Open line now at 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. A lot of people want to be heard on this. We'll certainly get into the trade issues with China. And I really don't understand why anybody would say, you know, it's okay for the other country to screw us, but we can't fight back and do the same thing. That's kind of dumb. Joe Pags, coming back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Michael Berry Show.
Great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show. Great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also, the live video feed. Glad to have you along for the ride on a Tuesday. A lot going on. About an hour from now, it'll be Brigitte Gabrielle, her own self. We will have her on television and radio. Going to talk about ActForAmerica.org. That is her organization. She's the president. Talk about Iran and the problems with Israel, Iran and the issues in Venezuela. We'll talk about John Kerry. We'll talk about Sharia law. We'll talk about a lot of stuff. So make sure you stick around for that. Hour number three, it's going to be Adam Kennedy. He's from the White House, the deputy assistant to the president, deputy director of the communications department at the White House as well. We talk about Bill Barr. Talk about a lot, though. We go off the beaten path a lot, and it's a really good conversation. Make sure you stick around for that. So I'm going to go to your phone lines about gun control, about what to do about schools and school shootings. I'm not really sure I understand why we're still at the point to where we don't have armed good guys at every school. Teachers, I don't care who they are, coaches. They do you do a background check and they do a training course. They should be able to carry their gun on campus, 100%. You got idiots who are I guess they're well-meaning, but they're parents who say things like, "Why would we welcome more of the things that we're trying to prevent?" You're not trying to prevent guns on campus. You're trying to prevent shooters on campus and shootings on campus. It's a big difference there. It's actually very simple. You're not trying. Guns aren't the issue. People shooting with them are. If you really can't understand that, you and I can't have a conversation. So I'll go to the phone lines. Carrie, we'll have the update on what's going on with this whole trade mess. Right, Carrie? Right, Lockster?
That's that Lockster. Yes, I will have that for you. Joe.
I could probably do a parody on your name.
No.
To the tune of Rock no. Lobster?
No. I don't like that idea at all.
Rock Lockster?
No, leave me out of that.
Rock Lockster?
No. That's a first. Nobody's ever called me Lockster before. No.
Well, listen, when we're good friends like we are, we're tight.
Mm-hmm.
I get to call you Rock Lobster.
Lobster. No, oh.
Not even like he said. No. Let me ask you this. So somebody called you the Lagoos the other day, or Carrie
yes.
Carrie Lagoo.
Yes.
And you mistakenly told me.
I know, big mistake.
I sent you and your husband a Facebook message. He didn't seem entertained at all by it.
Well, he didn't know. He just thought you misspelled our name. I had to go home and tell him the story.
Oh, so I'm his bro again? Was he mad at me for a minute?
No, he was fine.
He was mad at me.
What's the deal with that? The Lagoos. I said, then I'll tell you the story. So then he thought it was funny.
So just a little inside baseball. I sent Carrie and Mario this message, and I don't know what it was. Just some fun. Just something dumb where I thought I would include him, and he was like, he didn't say anything.
Oh,
and
no, after a while, you said that taco thing. Taco.
Oh, that's right. You sang
over
taco.
And over again.
And he was proud of you and so on and so forth.
He was very proud. Yeah.
But after a while, he was so unamused by the entire thing that this was his comment. He literally said these words, "Well, this is fun." He did.
Yeah.
And at that point, I just stopped writing. I was like, well, I got Mr. Lagoon mad at me, so I'm done.
Then you guys started talking about football and blah, blah, blah.
We did. No, we totally did.
And totally left me out of the conversation. So,
and then
like,
you, being the, I've got to be the center of attention, you then commented, well, I guess I'm out of this.
I know. Let me in.
But
let me
really?
Be part of the conversation.
That's not happening. He and I talk a lot that you don't even know about. Don't worry about it.
Really? I need to go home and
He's
ask
like, you're not going
to
believe what she pulled this morning. I'm like, I didn't believe what she pulled this afternoon.
No.
Oh, it's a lot of that. It's a lot of that.
You would not do that to me.
We commiserate. Let me just say this. The word commiserate comes to mind.
I don't think so. Even though you guys are bros.
I said the Lagoos. He was mad until you got home. I think that's actually kind of funny. You started it. I didn't come up with that.
I know. I'm so sorry. I told that story.
Pass that by me. It's his last name. Ask him if I can do Rock Lobster.
Oh, yeah. I'll ask him. I can already tell you.
Is that Devo? Who did that? Devo?
No, that's the B-52s.
The B-52s did Rock Lobster?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Do you have to play that out of the DJ jobs? Play Rock Lobster. Play Whip It. You have to play those dumb songs from the 80s?
I think I've only ever had one person ask me for a Rock Lobster. I mean, usually it's Love Shack, but not Rock Lobster.
It's always Love Shack, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I used to host karaoke, and everybody thinks I can sing Love Shack, and it's just horrible. And if they're good and drunk, they're actually trying to emulate the Love Shack in front of me as they sing it. I'm like, stop it. Get away from me. You're nasty. Put your shirt back on, Ethel. So there
good.
You go. It's 888-941-PAGS. What do you do about school shootings? And no, the right answer isn't, well, just keep the guns off the campus. Because guns aren't the issue. You know, when I was hanging out with Deputy Rangel, just a great guy. Every once in a while, you have contact with a police officer.
Awesome.
There he was sitting there with his gun. And I'm going, I'm not afraid of him at all with the gun because he's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to shoot me in the face.
No, I would doubt that.
You know what I mean?
I doubt that. Yes, no. They don't
right.
need
so,
to do that.
There was an armed police officer at Atlantic High School when I went to school there in the 1980s. We all knew the guy. We thought he was cool. And guess what? He had a gun. Not a one of us thought he was going to shoot us. So I'm not really sure how we've gotten to the point 30-some-odd years later where we're saying, oh, we don't want to introduce guns on campus. We're trying to avoid that. Who's the parent that thinks a good guy with a gun is going to add to gun violence on campus? Who's that guy? And by the way, he lives in San Antonio. I saw it on the local news. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. To the phones, it's going to be Minnesota and Dan. Dan, what's up?
Hi, Mr. Pags. How are you doing?
I'm living the dream, my friend. What's happening?
I bet. Well, the only suggestion I would have here is, you know, I have the signs in front of every school, guns and weapons are prohibited.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, right under that sign, you should have another sign that says teachers have been trained and may be carrying weapons.
Well, there are some schools actually in Texas that actually say that. Our staff is armed and trained on how to use them. And I think that's the better warning because if you put a sign out front, like you say, this is a gun-free zone, you're telling bad guys there are no guns here. Come on in.
Exactly. And just putting that threat there, they may move on to another place. So, you know, keep it short and sweet. Your staff is right on the money, and so are you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, Dan. Thank you. I thought he was going to mention you, Carrie. I've not rickrolled anybody in weeks.
I think you have. Maybe not this week.
So.
I think you did last. This hasn't been weeks.
I don't think it was last. I think it was two or three weeks ago. And I do think that I rickrolled you, in fact.
Oh, I think you did. I don't remember why. But I know
one
you
of
did.
My favorite rickrolls ever was when I rickrolled myself for kissing your ass. I was nice to you one day,
no, that's
and I had a rickroll
me. That was the best rickroll ever.
That
Let's
was
try
horrible.
That again today.
But
yeah.
I had to. I had to be consistent. I couldn't not do it. Let me go to our Roland in San Antonio. Roland, what's going on? Hi.
Oh, not a lot. How you doing, Joe?
Living a dream, man.
I just wanted to say that I'm worried about those people that can't get driver's licenses to vote Well, mightn't they be disenfranchised from buying a gun, too?
I'm not following you. I wish I were. What are you talking about?
What I'm saying is that they don't want to pass through a voter ID law.
Right.
Because some people are disenfranchised.
Allegedly.
Yeah. So what's a gun owner to do if he can't get a driver's license? You know, someone who can't get an ID to vote. How the heck are they going to get an ID to buy a gun?
Carrie, are we talking about people getting IDs to buy guns? Did I miss what Roland's listening to?
No, I don't think we were talking about that.
Roland hung up. I guess he got uncomfortable. I did not hang up on Roland. He hung up on me. Roland, I like you. You speak very well and very clear. I just don't know that I said anything about having an ID to get a gun. We're actually talking about what do you do to stop gun violence on campus. And no, saying no guns on campus is not the answer. Because that's actually inviting more violence because people know that there's nothing there. And he was being tongue-in-cheek about you can't get a voter ID. It's disenfranchising. Of course you can go and get an ID. But I don't think I made the connection today to getting an ID and getting a gun. Did I? Am I being naive here? Did I miss it?
No, but I think maybe he heard your story about your ID, and then you heard this story,
But I mean, did I not make the connection that he's making? I guess not.
Yeah.
I try to cover all angles of stories that I talk about, but I just don't think we ever went to IDs for guns.
No, but maybe he just heard when you were talking about your driver's license, and you know, sometimes people put things together in their head, thinking that you're tying those two stories together.
Here's what I want Roland to do. I want him to call me back someday. We'll have a better conversation on something else. Carrie, is that a deal?
That's a deal. Hopefully he will do that.
Now, I don't mean to be mean to him, but that's the worst call of the week so far. I'm just going to be honest.
Wow, that is a little mean.
What?
Now.
Why can't I be honest?
Pretty mean.
Why can't I be honest?
You can be honest. Be nice about it. Be gentle.
I'm being nice. Oh,
that was the worst phone call of the week.
That was a horrible call, but thank you so much. I appreciate it.
See, that's better. Yeah.
Is that better? Bless your soul. What a sucky call. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Back at it. It's Miriam in Lakeway, Texas. Miriam, what's going on?
Yes. Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm living the dream. What's happening?
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
And anyways, I just wanted to comment. I am from Colombia, and I can definitely say appreciate the rights and the freedoms that the people in America have. I see all my Venezuela people running away, suffering because the government took their guns away.
Right.
At schools, right over here, we have quite a few options. Yes, by any means. Anyone that received the proper training, coaches, teachers, and retired personnel should have the weapons to defend their students and protect the entire campus. However, the same way how we can go to an airport and many state buildings and they have metal detectors, why don't we have them in our schools?
Because that would solve the problem. No, I'm with you. And that argument has been made. You put an armed guard at the door and you have them go through a metal detector. You have fewer entrances and exits at the school. Like in Parkland, Florida, the guy walked in some side door that was not supposed to be open.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure all of that is secure, and then you could stop them from getting on the campus. There are very simple moves that can be made, but government is restrictive about them because government wants to just have total control. And this is never going to stop because there will always be bad guys for all of history. There will always be bad guys who want to do bad things to good people. We have to be proactive to stop it. And just saying no guns on campus doesn't work because the bad guy's always going to bring it. So stop him before he gets in. I'm with you.
I am totally in agreement. You know what? This lack of action with simple things, practical things, like President Trump, he's so practical on everything and he speaks our language. And actually, we, the people, we speak Trump language. That is a whole different lingo that these people, politicians, they don't want to understand or they refuse to understand so they can twist everything around. Now, the manipulation for the laws is a whole different thing. This will serve their agenda. They want to disarm we, the people, so they can control over us.
I'm 100% with you. And, Miriam, the scariest part is that all we have to do is look south and see what's happening in Venezuela. And we have to say that is something we don't want to happen here. And for some reason, we're acting like it's not happening. In fact, we've got people in the House of Representatives like Ocasio-Cortez who are saying it's better in Venezuela and they should have socialism. It's horrible. They're eating their own dogs in Venezuela.
It's sad that it's a Latin woman that is so ignorant of her roots and what really happens over there, because she's a socialist and she's really totally ignorant of the truth. And it's unfortunate that people that, I am a very uneducated. I never made it through college. I have very little education, but I have a ton of common sense. And that's all it takes to understand everything, that what is right and what is wrong.
Absolutely.
And the motives and reasons behind the actual policies that these manipulators have over the people. And they think that we are dumb. They think that we are stupid. And they put all of these little laws, and they blockade every kind of common sense policy out there. But we, the parents, I have children in the high school. I wish that we would have metal detectors, and it would take a lot of stress from our minds.
I'm with you. Hey, Miriam, I think those are great ideas. We're going to keep on pushing them for sure. We'll talk to you very soon. She's right. There should be metal detectors. There should be a smaller number of entrances and exits. There should be an armed guard manning the metal detector at all times. It's that simple. You don't get in if you don't go through this way. And if you want to try to, well, what if they hide a gun inside and then somebody opens a side door for them? Well, make them unopenable. There have to be common sense things we can do, because we already know from Parkland that their school resource officer might not go in and actually defend you. We now know that. We know that the Broward County Sheriff's officers might not go in and defend you. We know that Coral Springs would go in and defend you. But you can't take that kind of chance with your kids' lives. There should be people there who are making sure that nobody's walking through the campus with a rifle bag. Nobody's going through a side entrance. Nobody's showing up at 2 o'clock in an Uber and has access to the campus and to the buildings. There are steps that can be taken in every single one of these cases that would quell the issue, that would stop it before it happens. Yet we are not willing to do it, but we are willing to say, well, we just don't have any guns on campus. That's how we solve it. That doesn't make sense. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Somebody's getting a vital phone call right now. We'll take that during the break, and we'll come on right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
The tools you need to face the day, like traffic.
Because I need to get to and from work every day
to know what to expect.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. There is a lot going on. We'll have Brigitte Gabriel, bottom of next hour, so about 40 minutes from now. Make sure that you tune in for that. We're glad to have her on today. Also, Adam Kennedy, he's from the White House. He is a deputy assistant to the President of the United States. We talk about a lot, including Bill Barr, the Attorney General. I guess the House, Carrie, is it that the House is going to Wednesday vote to whether to hold him in contempt?
That is right, yes.
I think that's what's
There's
going on,
Wednesday
right?
Vote.
So we'll talk
yeah.
about how dumb that is. Nancy Pelosi said he's a liar, or he lied under oath, and but then wouldn't tell us what the lie was. What the Democrats are hanging their hats on is that Barr said no collusion because Mueller said no collusion. But Mueller didn't say no obstruction. Mueller said there isn't enough evidence to say there's obstruction, so we leave the conclusion up to the Attorney General. The Attorney General read the report and made the conclusion there was no obstruction. That's what their sticking point is. Well, Mueller didn't say there wasn't obstruction, so therefore there is. And Barr says, well, no, there's not, because I looked into it, and there's not obstruction. That's really what the sticking point is. I kid you not. So we'll talk about that and then some. All right, so make sure you stick around for that. Got a lot coming your way. We'll have the China story in a second. But let me tell you about cybercrime and the fact that these cyber criminals want to get your data. They want to find out your IP address. That's your personalized address, your number on the Internet. They want to be able to find out where you're surfing, what you're looking up, what you're buying. They want to take that information. Your ISP, your internet service provider, can sell that. Google and other sites can sell that. They're monitoring everything you do. You've got to anonymize your internet browsing. So get ExpressVPN. That's what I use. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing, encrypting your data, and hiding your public IP address. It's got easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, your phone, your tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN is easy. It's literally one click of a mouse button. Okay, it's rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity today. Find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/pags. That's expressvpn.com/pags for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/pags right now to learn more. Carrie, are you ready to go? Are you just right there at the starting gate? You just can't wait to tell the people?
About
the China, the trade stuff?
Yeah, I'm ready.
The tariffs and the taxes?
I'm excited.
Are you just like frothing at the mouth?
You
just can't wait.
I'm so excited to tell you about it.
Let's do it. Top of next hour.
Okay.
How do we do that? We establish it. We take the phone calls on it. We talk to the people. We've got so much more coming your way, including Brigitte Gabrielle, bottom of the next hour. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. Also, Newsmax TV, glad to have you here. It's the Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Tuesday. Oh, yes. Crazy Train Tuesday. That is Carrie Lucky. Carrie, what's going on?
Hello.
Yes, indeed. Let's go. What? Why you make a face?
You need to stop with that.
La da. La da 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 da. What?
Are you trying to sing? I don't know what's going on.
Wait. Oh, no, I'll turn it up. You sing. Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to sing. No.
Crazy. Sorry. Come on.
No. But that's
how it goes. It should be Carrie. What a pain in the ass.
That's a great song.
There's your parody right there. That's what I'm going to do.
No, I do not.
Hour three, I might do the Carrie parody.
No.
That could be.
There'll be no Carrie parody.
That might actually happen. I don't think. Let me ask you something. Do you think you really have the ability to stop me?
No, I know I don't.
Just ask
him. Because, come on, we're friends, right?
This is a lucky.
Do that to me,
please. That's a pain.
I'm telling you. All right, it's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We teased it enough. We will have Brigitte Gabrielle, bottom of the hour, this hour, going to talk about Iran somehow being involved in Venezuela, Iran versus Israel, which is either about to be open war or there's a ceasefire. I'm still confused about what's really going on there. We'll talk to her about that. We talk about Sharia law. We talk about plenty of stuff. But before we do that, let's talk about China, who's been besting us when it comes to trade for many, many years. Now this president wants to fight back, and the left in our country is attacking him for standing up for us. Carrie, fill us in.
From NPR, the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged 473 points on Tuesday after Trump administration officials accused Beijing of reneging on commitments it had already made in trade talks. The blue chip index, which earlier was down more than 600 points, closed the day down 1.8%. Other indexes also fell, with the S&P 500 down about 1.7%, the NASDAQ composite down nearly 2%. The Trump administration threatened to raise tariffs on $200 billion in imports from China to 25% from 10% starting on Friday. On Monday, after President Trump threatened to raise the tariffs, the Dow fell more than 450 points before recovering to close down 66 points. At a briefing with reporters Monday afternoon, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said China was retreating from specific commitments that had already been made. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said China was trying to go back on language that had been previously negotiated. And the Chinese delegation is expected in Washington for talks set for Thursday evening and Friday, U.S. officials said.
So, again, I said this last hour, and I want to reiterate it for those who weren't listening. And by the way, you should listen to the last hour, too. What's the matter with you? The president is standing up for us, the American buying public, the American consumer, but more importantly, the American manufacturer. In this country, we're making more things again. Companies are coming back again. Manufacturing is starting to really blow up and boom again. And when we make stuff and we send it there, they charge us a tax, a fee, a tariff, a lot of money. Listen, I went to China. There weren't a lot of American cars there. And if there were some American cars there, they were named something different because they'd been made in that country. So we should be able to make the stuff here, send it there, and have the same sort of fair trade allowances that they have sending stuff here. China doesn't pay its workers very much. They overwork them. Some workers will jump out of a window to their death just to not have to work 12, 15 hours in these factories anymore. So they're getting very, 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 very cheap labor. They're producing the goods for a very, very small amount of money and then send them to us where we're not putting much of a burden at all on them. So then it shows up at the shelves of the big box store around the corner, and you buy it for a dollar, where if we manufactured it here and it never even had to go overseas, you could probably it probably would cost you $2.50 or $3. Now, if we send stuff to China, they say, I don't even know what the numbers are. Let's say it's 25% tax. So if the product is a dollar, it's going to cost $1.25 for you to go and purchase it in China. $100, it's $125. Now we're talking about real money here. And when we take their stuff, we're not charging them anywhere near that amount. So President Trump said, rightfully so, why are we doing this? Why are we taking a bath? Why are we allowing for these other countries, whether it be China or anybody else, to unfairly burden us with a tax, a tariff, a fee, a something for us to send our stuff there and we're not doing it in return. And the answer from the left appears to be because we have more, because we're rich, because we have succeeded to this point, so we should feel some sort of guilt and help the Chinese. I'm not sure I understand. It's sort of like equal opportunity in this country. People get confused. They think it's equality. It's not. It's equal opportunity. Now, when I say equal opportunity, it means anybody, no matter their skin color, race, religion, orientation, whatever, they should have the opportunity to succeed in this country equally. We don't have equality in this country. Equality would mean that because Carrie drives this car that costs $100,000, I automatically deserve one too. It's not the way it works. Or Polo has a certain house and I don't have as nice a house. I deserve what Polo has. That's equality. Nobody has more than the other. And equality really can be, to be honest, it could be a socialist-based argument. We want equality for all. Equality. No. I do want equal justice because I want the justice to be doled out equally, regardless of who you are, what you look like, or where you're from. But I also believe in equal opportunity. So when it comes to opportunities for trade, we're not talking about equality here. I'm just talking about equal opportunity to trade among countries. If they're going to send us stuff, and we're going to charge them 5% tax or tariff, I don't think we're doing that. Then when we send them stuff, that's exactly the same amount that should be charged. We have equal opportunity to trade among each other, amongst the other countries on Earth. But that's not what's happening. We somehow, because we have so much, have to somehow help China get as much as we have to present them with equality on all levels. And if it takes them taxing and tariffing us at a higher rate to get that so-called equality, we have to do it because socialism is good for some reason. That's how weird the argument is. So I can use a sports analogy, which I think does really hit home. If you're a Red Sox fan, a lot of you are in Boston, and you're looking to get a really top player, and the Yankees happen to have him. First of all, you hate the fact that they have him, and the Yankees hate the fact that you guys even exist. I get all that. The rivalry, I'm in that rivalry. I'm a Yankees fan. Don't get mad at me. I just am. But if you're looking to make a deal to get Alex Rodriguez in his heyday, before we knew about the allegations, take a breath. You're going to offer the Yankees a certain player or players or draft picks or whatever. And the Yankees now get to say, is that a fair trade? Is that a trade that I can make where we get something in return, enough in return, or at least a prospect enough in return to where we can send that player? Now, there are considerations. The Yankees are paying him $15 million a year, and Red Sox only want to pick up $7.5 million. The Yankees have to, okay, I'll take the other $7.5 million burden, plus you have to give us two of your draft picks and a player to be named later. And then the Yankees say, I feel that's fair. The Red Sox say, not quite. Give us this, that, or the other as well, and give us $100,000. The Yankees say, yeah, we can do that. Now you've got an equal fair trade to where both sides had to give. Both sides got something. Both sides agreed at the end of the day, that makes sense for my side, my people, my fans, my team. For some reason, America doesn't get to do that. For some reason, America has to say, please fleece our people, hurt our manufacturers, undercut the people making stuff in our country with your lower prices after you stole their copyrights or their patents, and then we'll buy your crap and not charge you any tax or tariff. Trump said, we're going to charge you until you back down and make us some promises. And China said, okay, we'll back down. We'll hear the promises. And then they're trying to renege on the promises they already made. That's not fair. That's not equal trade opportunity. That's not both sides benefit. And you might say, well, consumers are benefiting because they get a much lower cost product at the store. Right, but at what real cost? If we only get our products from China or some other country that's paying their people nothing and undercutting American manufacturers, and you get to buy it for a dollar, whereas it would have been $2 from an American manufacturer, you feel like you saved a dollar, so you did well. Well, let me ask you this. How many people don't have jobs in this country manufacturing that product because you saved a dollar? So we're hurting ourselves in several ways. We're giving them some sort of unfair status where they get to send their stuff here, their crap, for a very low fee, if any. And we're losing jobs in the meantime manufacturing the stuff right here. So I'm all for the president. Look, I'll pay the extra dollar for now. I'll pay the extra $2 for now for the product if I have to ensure American jobs and to ensure a strength in the Oval Office that looks at China and any other trade partner, Mexico, Canada, and says, I'm not going to allow you, Canada, to charge us a 300% tariff on milk or dairy products. That's not okay. That's not a fair trade. That's not an equal partner. I want our president to say that. And the stock market has to go down. Carrie, can I be honest with you?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel the stock market going down today.
Okay, gotcha.
My car didn't stop running. Yeah. The weights didn't stop moving. I wasn't not able to eat. Everything was fine, even though the stock market went down 1-point-something% today. Everything was okay. And if I know this president and his ability to make deals, the stock market will make up for tomorrow or the next day or next week. 1-800. Actually, it's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Your thoughts on this whole China deal and the push by the left to say, look how horrible a president he is, horrible a dealmaker he is, because he's actually making China stick to their agreement and their promises. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Coming right back.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It's the Joe Pags Show, about 10 or 11 minutes away from Brigitte Gabrielle, her own self, right here on the program. We talk about Venezuela, Iran, Iraq, Iran and Israel. Not taking calls on that right now. We'll establish it with the conversation with Brigitte. I'll take calls after that. Right now, I am taking calls, however, on China, on fair trade, on trade between us and Mexico, us and Canada, our alleged friends who have been fleecing us. Can you imagine Canada looks at us and says, dairy products from your country? Cool. 300% tariff. And then you ask, well, why are you doing that? And they say, well, we have dairy products here. We're adding big taxes, tariffs, and fines to your goods to protect our goods. And I'm going, but we do all this other trade with you. You want to put a little something on here, I get it. But if you're adding 300%, you're pricing us out of the market. We have no chance to get any market share at all. Why would we buy your stuff? Why are we manufacturing some of our automobile parts there? Why are we doing, pipelines to give you access to certain types of oils and refined product? It's a process that was put in place by people in this country who were in positions of leadership who didn't like how we got here. And it was a matter of, it's like Obama when he was in office saying no to oil rigs off of our coast, no to exploration in the oil-rich shelf off the coasts, and allowing or suggesting or even promoting the relocation of these rigs to the coast of Brazil. I don't understand why that happened. I have no clue why, other than the fact that he doesn't like that we're so prosperous or that we've done so well or that our process of getting here hates colonialism. Still is hung up on slavery for some reason. And we have to stop. Look, he said he was going to put coal out of business and kind of laughed about it. And then pushing refineries and rigs, oil pumping rigs, pushing them from our coast to the coast of Brazil. And that told me that it was never about the safety hazard that was involved in drilling for oil off the coast. Because if he was so worried about safety and about the manatees and the doves and everybody else, or the seagulls and everybody else in the water, he wouldn't want them to be harmed in Brazil either, right? It wasn't about that. It was about, sure, it can be done, just not here. So this self-loathing and this, I guess what seems to be they think is necessary, knocking us down a few notches, didn't stop when Obama left. There are a lot of leftovers who are fighting President Trump, who's trying to say, no, we want it to be fair for us and our people and our manufacturers. That's what we want. Because remember, Obama went on an apology tour and kept on telling every country, every leader, every people he could meet that the United States is not perfect and has made many, many mistakes, many of which we're still dealing with. That was his mantra. And that continues with people who are leftovers. I guess the very simple question I have is, why hasn't the president by now, over 2 years in, made sure he weeded out all of these deep state Obama idiots and fired them all? And then he could go forward in a very positive way to make sure he's looking out for the interests of the American people, American manufacturers, American employers, and all of our country. Let me go to the phone lines and see what you think about this this dust up with China. Graham is in San Antonio. Graham, what's up?
Well, my point is, I don't think the president has gone far enough. He should have banned trade with China until such times as the American companies bring their manufacturing processes back. And that would create more jobs. It would raise the amount of tax money that could be charged possibly at a lower rate than is currently charged.
Yeah.
And would also kind of slap China in the face, so to speak, to smarten up. If they want to trade with us, then they have to fall in line to what's a fair practice for both countries.
Well, the only issue I see, Graham, is that you can't do it immediately. And you've got big box stores and other companies that are reliant now, and they shouldn't be, but they've done this to themselves. They're reliant on goods from China and from elsewhere. So unless you're saying they should all shut down too in the meantime, all those employees should not be paid in the meantime, all of our economy should stop completely flat in its tracks in the meantime. I mean, if you're saying that, then you're right. But I don't think you're saying that, because I think there are too many people. Look, when Walmart employs a million people, you're looking at a big dent if you just shut it down for a while.
That is true to a certain extent, but it would be only for a short while, because, like I said, the U.S. companies would come around very quickly.
Yeah, but how quickly can a company just start manufacturing what we're getting from China? It can't be tomorrow. I mean, there's a process there. And you're right. It wouldn't be years, but it wouldn't be immediate.
Yeah, it would have to be phased.
Right. Well, as long as the phasing doesn't leave millions of people out of jobs in the meantime, because now we're looking at such an extreme measure. Look, maybe that's down the line. Maybe eventually he has to do that. I think the process that he's undertaking right now makes sense. We're not cutting off trade, but we're going to charge you an arm and a leg if you're going to send your crap here. And that's going to sting them in the pocketbook. That's going to cost them billions of dollars. And yeah, they're going to respond by raising their taxes and tariffs as well, or they're going to give in. But I like the idea. I don't think that it's doable in an immediate fashion, Graham. I appreciate you. Look, I'm not saying that it's wrong or it's a bad idea. What I'm saying is the repercussions could be such that an undertaking like that would have to take a serious conversation with people and asking them, look, don't get paid for a while. I don't think you can do that. Paul, you got to make it fast. And normally our conversations are long, but you got less than a minute. Make it happen.
I just wanted to know, Joe, why Mr. Trump's companies, some of his companies, continue to buy Chinese steel. Is that true or not?
Well, I don't know if it's true or not, but if they are, so what? If it's available, it's not illegal. And if they're buying the steel, they're paying the tariffs and whatever else. I mean, let's say this. Let's say he is buying steel from China. Now, he's hurting himself by raising taxes and tariffs, isn't he?
Well, I suppose he is, but...
That shows me that he's not very selfish. I mean, he doesn't have to do that. He could lower the taxes and tariffs and save himself money, couldn't he?
I suppose, but wouldn't that be a conflict of interest?
No, not at all. Not at all. The guy can't have a company? I think he can. Paul, I appreciate it. Interesting question, but you actually just made the point that Trump is not afraid to hurt himself and his own pocketbook to make sure he looks out for the American people. Brigitte Gabrielle, when we come back, stay here.
Joe Pags.
Better. President Trump just did something that Barack Obama never would have, and I think it's going to make you very proud. I'll tell you what it is. Coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Also Newsmax TV, it's the Joe Pags Show. So glad to have you. So glad to have back my friend. She's the president from ActForAmerica.org. It is Brigitte Gabrielle. Brigitte, how are you?
Thank you, my friend. I'm delighted to be back with you. I'm doing great.
You know, you were just in Texas and you snubbed me. You decided not to stop by and say hello. You're actually far away. You're like 3 hours away. But it's interesting to be in Texas, isn't it? We are so Constitution-loving and America-loving, but then there's this influx of far-left progressivism that's trying so hard to take hold here.
Exactly. I love Texas, and I love the Texas pride. I love how everybody is so proud of their state. Yep. But everybody is concerned. I tell you, I was talking with people. I was in Dallas over the weekend, and I also in Houston. And in both cities, people are concerned about how the state is now purple, basically.
It is.
Towards blue. And the major concern is the inner cities, not only the influx of people coming from California and lefty states, because obviously they didn't like the result of what they have been voting for years.
Right.
So they decided, well, we'll move to Texas, enjoy some Texas great economy. And now they're trying to switch Texas because they are voting the exact same way they voted when they were in San Francisco or when they were in these other states. And that's the concerning part. And that's why Texans are concerned about the direction of the state.
But that's a good point. Let me just jump on that, because what you said is so intelligent. That's why I have you on. A, because you're a great friend of mine and I love your work. But you're so smart. You're right. They're leaving because taxes are too high. They're leaving because they can't afford health care. They're leaving because they can't afford property taxes. They're leaving because of the overwhelmingly progressivism that's power and control in central government. So instead of leaving and saying, let me go to a place that's better, they're going to the place that's better, and they're voting the same way they did back in California. I have an idea. Stay your ass in California if that's what you want in your government. Does it make any sense at all to you to bring the politics with them when they're running from all of this trouble?
And that's exactly what it is. It's like, didn't you think that it's actually your voting pattern over the years, over the decades, that got California to where it is today, for example? And right. I'm just throwing California because I know a lot of people from California moved to Texas. I'm just using it as an example. It's those votes that you have voted in California, which gave you the results that you are living with today. You know, they say you make your bed, you lay in it. Yeah. But instead, because we are a big, great country, they are able to jump and move from California into Texas and bring with them their mentality, their ideas, their vote, their progressivism, and expect that if they vote the same way in Texas, it's going to keep Texas the way it is. Not realizing it's Republican policies that made Texas the way it is.
Yeah, exactly right.
But this is a wake-up call for the people in Texas, Joe, for them to understand that they need to mobilize on the grassroots. It's not enough to listen to talk radio and say, oh my God, I'm very well informed and I'm going to vote on election day.
Yeah.
A lot of things happen between votings every 2 years. The left is already mobilizing their grassroots. They have an operation in place. They have an influence operation in place. We need to do the same thing on the right. Yeah. And I urge people of Texas to become involved on a grassroots level. Join us. Go to actforamerica.org, actforamerica.org, and get involved so you can learn how to be an effective a citizen in the state of Texas and preserve.
And it's the number four, right, in the name, actforamerica.org?
It's the regular word for F-O-R.
F-O-R, okay.
F-O-R-America.org.
Want to make sure people go there. It's Brigitte Gabriel. Her latest book is called Rise. You've got to go and get that. If you haven't gotten it already, get 5 copies, send them out to your friends. So we're watching what's unfolding in the Middle East, but at the same time, we're watching what's unfolding in Venezuela. Brigitte, we've got Iran pushing influence on what's happening in Venezuela. Do you have any idea why?
Well, the Iranians and the Russians are very interested in what's happening in South America and what's happening in Venezuela because they are both fighting for influence, but specifically Iran. Iran has a vested interest in targeting those countries because they are using them as a center of operation. So they can train their people there and they equip them with whatever they can as a base of operation in North America in order to influence the United States of America. Because through that, they are able to work with drug cartels. They are able to make their way to Mexico, through the Mexican border, and come to the United States, whether to smuggle drugs, whether to smuggle terrorists, whether it's for a money-making operation that supports their terrorist activity overseas, or all the above. That's why Iran has a vested interest in what's happening in Venezuela.
It's crazy. And they're here. One would have to imagine that it's all what you said. I guess there's uranium available there. There's oil, as you say. And it's not that far from us. So we've got to be very careful of what's going on. Would you, as the preeminent national security expert, would you suggest that we do something other than just financially support? I mean, should we send people to the surrounding region? What would you do?
Well, look, thank God we have a president like President Donald Trump who understands the situation, who is very well briefed about Hezbollah operations in South America and the Iran situation and the Iran's involvement and even their training camps and command centers in the tri-border states. And so he understands it. And that's why President Trump came out in support of Guaido, the newly elected president who's been recognized by over 50 countries as the duly elected new leader of Venezuela. But the problem is the other president still has complete control over the military and the police and the security services. But at least the people now understand that America is standing with them. And that gives them the moral encouragement to continue fighting and standing up. And the world is watching because when the Iranians rose up against the mullahocracy in Iran, President Obama stood with the mullahs instead of standing with the people who are asking for freedom. In this situation in Venezuela, President Trump and the United States are standing with the people of Venezuela, encouraging them, supporting them to stand united and sending a very clear signal that we are standing with the newly elected, democratically elected president, and we will do what we have to do to basically support him and contain the situation in Venezuela. We are watching, but if we feel we have to get involved, we will get involved.
She is the president of actforamerica.org, actforamerica.org. Go there and find out anything you need to know about what's happening when it comes to terrorism, national security, and much more. Get her book, Rise. It's Brigitte Gabriel. Brigitte, can you, in a nutshell, and I know it's hard, tell me what the heck is going on between Iran and Israel? Because some reports say it's going to be war soon. Other reports say, there's a ceasefire. What's going on?
Well, look, we have been talking about a possible war between Iran and Israel for the last 10 years. Right. Iran started developing a nuclear weapon in 2003. Actually, the first Israeli delegation traveling the world trying to warn about Iran's nuclear program was dispatched out in 2003. Here we are, 2019. The world did not listen, but the situation got worse because now Iran is in a much more different place. Iran was empowered under Obama. Obama stood with the Iranians, even sent them cash in the middle of the night, like you know, on pallets. It's like drug dealing money, dirty money. Yep. But right now we have President Donald Trump. Donald Trump is going to stand with Israel. Israel is not going to allow the Iranians to finish weaponizing the nuclear weapon. They're going to do something. Iran is funding Hezbollah in Lebanon. Iran is even funding Hamas in Gaza. Iran is working with both the Shiites and the Sunnis, the Shiites being Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Sunnis being Gaza, the Palestinians in Gaza. Yep. It doesn't matter at this point, religious differences. They're supporting them against Israel because they are planning on war.
And Brigitte, is it your opinion that John Kerry is having an unsavory relationship with Iran? You know, he keeps meeting with them. What's the story? This guy is not the Secretary of State. He's not a governmental official. This would be, I think, a violation of what, the Logan Act? So what is he doing? Do you know, is he promising them, wink, wink, when we get rid of Donald Trump, we'll come back and do the deal again?
Listen, he's doing that out in the open, the wink, wink. I mean, he's not even winking, winking under the table or behind the door.
Wow.
John Kerry should be charged with treason because for him to go around to our enemies, meeting with them, complaining about our president and our president's policies, basically the United States policies as of now. So basically, he is going against his country and against the policies of his country and talking to the enemies of his country, the United States of America, telling them we will work with you as soon as we get rid or we replace our president. That is flat out treason. Yeah. And he should be charged with treason. John Kerry is working way outside of what he should be doing as an American and also as a public personality and an elected official American. And that is wrong. And that is very dangerous.
It's Brigitte Gabrielle, actforamerica.org. Go there, get her book, Rise. But one last thing, and maybe just give me a comment on this. I think we can expand upon this next time. I told you, I have a family member who's a Muslim, and he and I don't see eye to eye, obviously, on a lot of things. And we were talking about some family issue the other day. We hadn't even spoken in a long time. And he was telling me his problem with me and kept on bringing you up, the fact that I'm your friend and that I have you on my show a lot. And I asked him flat out, do you follow Sharia law? And this guy lives in New York. He says, yes. I said, well, then we have a problem. You think women are 50% of men. You think that a husband can beat his wife if she looks at him funny. You think that throwing gays off of buildings is normal. The Hadith and Sharia law are negative, horrible, violent laws that don't coincide with our Constitution. And he went off for a half an hour yelling and screaming and profanity and everything else. And much of it had to do with you. Why is it that you tweak people so much when it comes to the truth that you tell? Now, his claim was that you're mistranslating on purpose the Aramaic or something. He said you purposely, because you speak Arabic, you're purposely misleading a guy like me about Sharia law and the Hadith. Is that what's going on?
I actually read the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sirah in classical Arabic and speak it fluently. Actually, I spoke it as a news anchor for World News in the Middle East tonight,
right.
And I speak it better than he does, and I understand it better than he does. And I understand he's a convert. And, you know, converts always take something and just, boy, they just take it and want to beat you over the head with a 10x4
right.
with it.
Exactly.
They translate it in their own mind. But the reason why they hate me so much is because I expose them. I expose the truth because I can argue and debate facts based on facts in the Arabic language, in the language in which the Quran is written, in a way that 99% of non-Muslims or people across the globe cannot, unless you are a Muslim raised in the Middle East and speak the Arabic language. As a matter of fact, most Muslims around the globe don't speak Arabic. They recite it by mouth simply because they recite the prayers because they're taught as a part of their religion. Just like I recite Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke, because I'm a Maronite, and in my church service, we say that the Holy Liturgy in Aramaic. But I don't understand it. I don't speak it. But boy, I can't recite the prayers.
I don't think anybody speaks Aramaic anymore. But the bottom line is he just wants you to shut up, right? I mean, because you're telling the truth.
I'm telling the truth, and I'm warning America about what's coming, because we do not want people in America thinking that women are worth half the value of that of a man. Look, somebody like me left the Middle East because this is exactly what I left. Not to come to the United States, not to be as an American woman after everything that the women's suffragette movement fought and gave everything they can for to give us the freedoms that we have as women, for somebody like him or Muslims to come to this country and say, women is valued, is worth only half of that of a man. Women's brain, women are more stupid. The hell is filled with women because they're stupider. All sorts of nonsense.
Okay.
This is not what we want in America.
Yeah. Brigitte, always great information. I think we can expand upon that a lot next time and really talk about the lies that are told to try to keep people like you quiet and stop people from me from having you on. I'll have you on every day if you'd have me. It is Brigitte Gabrielle, actforamerica.org. Go there, get her book, Rise. Thank you, my friend. Let's talk soon.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.
Back after this on the Joe Pags Show. You stay right here.
Joe Pags.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Enjoy Brigitte Gabrielle. Every time she comes on, John wrote me, Carrie. John writes, and he says, please tell our friend from South America, Brigitte, and then continues to say this, that, and the other.
Oh, right.
Brigitte is from Lebanon. I'm just going to,
what did he say, South Africa?
South America.
Oh, South America.
So tell our friend from South America. Much of what she talked about was how she speaks fluent Arabic because she's from there.
Right. Not the South America.
Love John like a brother, but South America is not going to be in the Middle East. I'm just going to help you out with that. I'm just being helpful.
It's good.
So there you go.
We
appreciate her coming on. We appreciate her vibrance and vehemence when it comes to safety and security for the American way and for freedom and liberty and so on. And she's got so much knowledge. You got to go to actforamerica.org, A-C-T-F-O-R, America.org, and go sign up, get the newsletters, and watch everything that she does. Go get her book, Rise. Let me tell you about Superbeats. Superbeats is a great product that I use every morning. You know I work out a lot. You know that I'm going all day long. You know that I sleep 4 hours a night or something like that. And to get that kind of energy and stamina and to keep the blood flowing and the circulation going and the blood pressure in the right range, I use Superbeats. It's a great product. It's a superfood made from beets but doesn't taste like beets. I don't like beets, but I do love Superbeets. You take this and it helps you to increase the natural production of nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is that miracle molecule that helps you with your circulation, your blood flow, it helps you. Look, when your circulation slows down as you get older, it actually is the reason why you feel fatigued, why you lose that energy, why you just don't have the stamina to get through your day anymore. I want you to try Superbeats right now, risk-free for 90 days. Go to joelovesbeats.com. Get this special offer. You're even going to get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats with your first order at joelovesbeats.com. Nitric oxide indicator strips, too. joelovesbeats.com or 1-800-516-8389. Do it now. Get some Superbeats. Look at the phone lines. A lot of people want to be heard on a lot of different topics, and I appreciate you taking the time. Dom, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Joe. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
I was just calling about the manufacturing and tariff we have with China. You know, it was about 20 years ago when I wanted to buy a product, particularly not made in China, and I think it was a Snap-on tool or something.
Okay.
I drove around for almost 3 hours, could not find it. I was in Wisconsin at that time, could not find a product of that nature made in USA. Went to about 45 to 50 shops. I just was like driven saying, let's find out. Because I worked in manufacturing, I taught manufacturing. I saw a lot of people in my classes, dropping out because they lost their jobs because they either were going to Mexico or China. So, you know, I am as guilty as anybody else of going to Walmart and buy cheap stuff. I've done that, been there, but, you know, I started thinking about it. Manufacturing is the economic engine and the foundation of the economy and military superiority for any country. A service economy will not sustain the economy for long.
And interestingly, I'm glad that you said that, because the Democrats and progressives purposely stopped the manufacturing, drove it out, and made us a service-oriented economy. And if we're service-oriented, then we can't fall back on the fact that we make the stuff we need. We actually are we're reliant on China and Canada and Mexico and fill in the blank. We have to be self-reliant again and be the manufacturing capital of the world. We're not right now, and hopefully we can get back to that.
Yeah, and I am basically 35 years ago, I immigrated from India, and I go back quite often, and I talk to the people that are in the service industry, and a lot of the people that are owners of these businesses are telling me, hey, you know, we can't really sustain this. India is going to have to go to manufacturing to compete with China, our neighbor, and then compete with the rest of the world. They are thinking ahead, and we are not doing that because manufacturing is the only thing that contributes to the GDP. Nothing else does that.
Don, I got to run. Love you. Appreciate you. Yeah. But as you know, the GDP going through the roof, much higher than Obama ever predicted it could be again, and manufacturing is coming back. That's all good. Yes, we should deal with the trade war for a while, as long as things continue to be economically better for the American people. Got to go on TV. We could come back tomorrow. We continue on radio. Stay here.
Don't be an ageist.
Now, live from the WO studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is
the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Yes, indeedy do. Glad to have you. Welcome to the program. Great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Glad to have you along for the ride. Also, the live video stream at the website on a Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. That's right.
Taco. I've got my tacos, my radio. A little salsa, I'm ready to go.
Uh-huh.
No enchilada, no cheesy nacho.
You betcha.
Taco Tuesday, the Joe Pags Show.
Taco. Bring it now.
Taco.
What's that?
Now me and Polo, we'd like the hot sauce.
That's right.
Joe LaTorriso. Uh-huh. Cause he's the boss.
Right. No.
Bean and cheese sparks from Carrie Larkin. She's full of corn tortillas and beans.
Taco.
You can't even stop shooting yourself from laughing. You can try all you want.
Taco.
It's Taco Tuesday. Come on. Joe Pags Show.
Taco.
I'm eating tacos. Uh-huh.
That's right.
Taco.
Uh-huh.
Taco Tuesday.
Taco. Come on, Polo, bring it.
Taco.
Okay, we can see you in the whole lead-up. Come on. Do it right.
Taco.
See, that was good.
Taco.
I mean, it's not as good as that, let's be honest.
That was pretty good.
That's all right. It's actually all right. We've got a new Taco Bell in town. And I realize they're not real tacos. I get it. But we've got a new Taco Bell in town, and I wonder, Carrie, because I'm thinking about doing a live remote from there. Will you come with me and just do the taco on a loop?
No, I will not be doing
taco,
that.
Taco,
no.
Taco, 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 taco.
Oh, that's okay. That's taco. Good. That's taco. Good.
Why does it sound different now?
Taco, taco.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It used to be a lot more seamless.
Oh, because I'm not putting on a loop on the thing.
Just delayed it, and, you know.
Oh, you want another taco. Actual loop? I could probably do that.
No.
Let's see here.
Taco.
The problem is it's so fast. She says it and tries to get out of the way, and it just, you know.
Taco.
Yeah, I would actually have to put it into the loop machine.
Is that
you think that's what the people want?
No.
Because if the people want it, I can make that happen.
No, the people don't want that.
Taco, 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 taco.
Oh, Carrie likes the tacos.
Taco,
yes,
taco,
she does.
Taco,
she goes
taco,
to Taco Bell taco, and that's all buzzed. Why'd you get buzzed at Taco Bell? I have no idea. I just suggested you get high at Taco Bell.
What are you talking about?
It just fit. I don't know. It fit. What?
Dude, I can buy the Taco Bell.
That's Deputy Rangel. He wants to talk to you about your Taco Bell trips. We've got a new Taco Bell in town, and I haven't gone yet. And I'm wondering, look, because I had a cheat meal last week, and I went to Chili's. I love the Chili's. The chips and salsa. Oh, so good. The chicken crispers. You ever get the chicken crispers?
I think my kids have had that.
Dude.
I do like the triple dipper.
I got the triple dipper, but two of them were chicken strips, or chicken crispers.
Okay.
And the third one were the egg rolls.
I
made the mistake of dipping the egg rolls. Yes. Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
But I made the mistake of dipping them in the mustard, the sweet mustard. Ew, I don't like the honey mustard.
Yeah.
Then they also had like ranch or something. That's the right one to go with. But now let's all go to Chili's after the show. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, your treat. Let's go.
Absolutely. Right. You'll go?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Such a liar. You know, your food's already waiting for you at home.
You've only
still
like,
you'll go? Will you go? I'll meet you there after the show. Let's go.
I know you're not being serious.
I'm being serious. I'll meet you at Chili's.
Which Chili's?
You know, the one we always go to. That one right there.
We've never gone to a Chili's.
Right, the one in San Antonio. I'll meet you there. Wait for me.
Okay.
I'll meet you there.
Wow, that's so rude.
We went to Chili's last week, and a lady wrote me on the Facebook the next day and said, I saw your family at Chili's. I don't want to bother you, but, you know, just a big supporter or whatever. I'm like, no, I can say hello.
Nice.
I'm totally not that guy. I mean, you want to say hello?
Yeah. I was at the doctor's office last week, and somebody said, hey, can I ask you a question? I said, are you Carrie Lockie? I said, yes. I listen to the Joe Pags Show every day.
Taco.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I did not say taco.
So the other way, they're going to start asking you to do it.
No.
Hold on. Has anybody asked you to do the taco yet? In all the years you've been doing it, somebody's had to ask you.
Only JC.
That's it?
Yeah. I mean, he asks me every time he sees me in the hallway.
Sees you in the hall, and he's like.
Yeah.
He's like. Does he ask you to do it, or does he just say it?
Well, he'll say it, but then sometimes I was like. Just one time. Or if it
JC rocks. JC's a huge fan of the show. I don't think he's allowed to tell anybody that, but he is.
If it's Tuesday, he'll okay. Come on. It's Tuesday. Just one time.
Come on, did she?
Just wait.
You're welcome.
Wait,
you're welcome. I made you taco famous. You're very welcome. But now, am I going to go off and get it? Because when I go to Taco Bell, you know what the order is? It's a 12-pack.
You get 12 tacos.
For me. For me. Absolutely.
That's a lot.
Have you seen those little tiny tacos at Taco Bell? That's it's not lot. Like they're
not
very
in
filling.
A long time.
Paulo, is there any doubt you could kill a 12-pack of Taco Bell tacos? Come on.
I've never seen them, but I'm assuming I could.
I mean, you've never seen them. You've never seen a Taco Bell taco?
I mean, I usually eat, like, real Mexican food.
I understand that. I do, too. I enjoy the real Mexican food. But
I mean, they have some...
That's like saying I only eat Chester's Burgers and I never go to McDonald's. Right. Yes, you do.
No, I understand. I mean, every now and then it's cool to get like some weird concoction that they come up with, like some kind of enchirito or whatever it is that they come
right.
up with.
They call it something stupid.
Yeah. It's like an enchilada and a bit of burrito. They had a baby and
it's the end of a burrito. They call it the enchirito, right?
Yeah. No, it's an enchilada and a burrito, and they had a baby in enchirito.
No, is it chalupa really something, or did they make that up, too?
No, it is.
A chalupa is really something.
Yes. Chalupas are good, yeah.
I'll meet you guys at the new Taco Bell.
Again, where?
What?
Yeah. See, I'm going to show
up. The Taco Bell in San Antonio. I'll meet you there.
Yeah, there was a lot of Taco Bells in San Antonio.
So what? I'm not at that one. Go to the next one.
I'll take a guess.
What's the big deal? So, the thing about the Taco Bell in my neighborhood is that the drive-thru doesn't work yet.
So you get out of your car and you go in.
Oh, no. It defeats the purpose, doesn't it? It's called fast food.
So go
I have to
in
park my damn
it.
Car, get my tired ass out. I'm going to go eat some fattening food. I got to get out and waddle my way into the Taco Bell. You give me a break. Mm-hmm. You deliver that crap to my car.
Dude, wow.
You should let me yell you that. Hey, I'll take a 12-pack. Bring it out here.
You think they're like Sonic or what? They come to you while you're parked outside?
That's what they should. They should roller skate their asses out there and get my order. The drive-thru didn't work. You got to fix that.
Yes.
Now I'm hungry. Now I want to talk. So you guys don't want to go out tonight? Cool. Yeah. That's all right.
I told you. Yes, let's go. On you.
You guys would. Yep. Carrie, if you can, Pete Buttigieg.
Mm-hmm.
Gay. He's mayor. He's the mayor and he's gay. You have to say that. It's part of the news story every time. Pete Buttigieg, gay, married a man. He's gay. I guess he doesn't think America was ever great.
That is correct.
Is that what I'm hearing?
So
when we come back, you'll have that story for us. At the bottom of the hour, it's going to be Adam Kennedy. He is, of course, at the White House. He works at the White House. See, now I'm getting indigestion because I'm thinking about fast food.
Dude, no.
He works at the White House. He's a deputy communications director. He's a deputy assistant to the president. We talk about William Barr, the fact that he's going to be held in contempt of Congress or some crap, so stupid, and that they're still talking about impeachment. You know, this Representative Al Green...
Different green.
Love you, however you want to do.
No.
Okay, sing it.
Can't do it like right. Obama.
What? What? What's that?
That's rough.
What are you talking about?
A little rough around the edges. No.
Let's stay together.
No? You're saying no then?
Mm, big fat no. No. Stop singing. No.
Weather.
Everybody.
I'm so good or bad.
Come on, Carrie.
No.
Happy or sad.
You saying no?
No, I've lost my appetite.
You don't want Taco Bell
no,
now?
And I don't.
Come on, it was good stuff.
You ruined it. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. No.
So anyway, Pete says that it's no good. Al Green, by the way, is not that Al Green. You're right. It's the representative from Houston. He says we must impeach Trump or else he's going to win re-election because that's a new tactic. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm just going to say it. I think that every member of Congress, this is my personal opinion, I'll pay for it, should be drug tested.
That would be interesting. I like
fail the test, you're
results.
Gone.
Yeah.
Fail the test, you're gone. So we've got that for you, too. So you have the story on Mayor Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to get into the sexual assault guy at some point. 26 years
this
old.
This is nuts. Does that
punishment make sense to
no,
you?
No, absolutely not. No, never. No, I don't understand
we'll have
why
you.
It happened. Mm-mm.
It's sick. It's there's something wrong with our society.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that as well. Let me very quickly grab Carlo. Carlo, I appreciate you waiting. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is kind of the subject's close to home, close to you, about this people coming into the state and changing things.
Yeah.
I'll admit I'm a dumb dago. I went from California to Minnesota, so maybe I don't have the best advice. But I'm thinking that the founding fathers had a pretty good idea with the Electoral College. So I think it's only going to work in a red state is that if you – statewide offices follow the same pattern. In other words, every county gets 2 electoral votes plus a percentage, a number that's based on their actual population. So it would slow it down a little bit, and That's kind of an idea. Otherwise, it's just you're just going to lose.
Well, the Electoral College is based on congressional district already. That's why there are so many in California, so many in Texas. It is based on population.
Yeah, but if you look at the map, though, like in Minnesota and California is really red. So the high population centers, which the founding fathers didn't want the big states to bully. So the same thing's happening on a statewide level is that the big counties are bullying.
The vast majority, I want to make sure people understand what you're saying, because what you just said could be misconstrued. You're right. Geographically, the United States is overwhelmingly red. Overwhelmingly. I mean, if you look at a map, it's crazy. But then you've got L.A. County and San Francisco, and that's it. Whatever they say goes in the state of California. But the founding fathers did come up with the Electoral College. They did base it on population. They did know that there would be more sway in places like New York City than there would be in a smaller, like in Jamestown. But having said that, they wanted to make sure the smaller areas did have a say. What you're saying is that it's so overwhelming for the overpopulated areas that even the small towns don't have a say anymore.
They don't. Yeah, they don't. I mean, basically, the state's run by Ramsey and Hennepin County. And so that kind of the phenomenon where they actually voted, can't even say his name, Keith Ellison in, is just ridiculous.
I got to say, going in, I thought the other guy, I had the other guy on two or three times. I thought he was going to win, Doug, whatever his face is. I mean, I had the guy on several times, and like the day before the election, he's like, we're up by 7 points in the polls. And then all of a sudden he loses, which was very odd. There's something fishy going on in Minnesota already, Carlo, to be honest with you. But I hear you. I don't know how you adjust the Electoral College, though. To take away strength and population.
But it would just be on a state level. You wouldn't. It just basically the kind of same kind of system that the country uses for general elections. Again, this is for general state offices. You'd put that system in place just for like the governor, the AG, secretary of state, and so the little counties just don't get screwed.
Yeah,
because they're getting screwed right
Carla,
now.
I hear you, and I think we should come up with some kind of idea. Thanks, man. And don't call me a dumb Dago. Do you call me a dumb Dago?
No, I don't think he was calling you that.
Oh, he's saying that he's a dumb Dago?
He was kind of calling himself that.
So what he's saying is he's my people too?
Oh, I did not say that.
Wow. Where are you calling my people out?
No.
Because I can make one phone call.
No. What phone call are you going to make?
To my uncle.
Uh-huh.
I would watch what you say to me. It's all I'm saying.
I have not said anything
bad to you. We Dagos are connected. I'm just saying.
I would not. I've never called you that.
I've got people. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that. I'm not threatening or anything. I'm just saying.
You're saying what you're saying. Okay. I got it.
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We come back. We have to have this story about, what is he? The mayor, he's gay, right? Pete Buttigieg?
Yes, he is. Yes.
Wow. So let me ask you this. Have you had to report that in any of your straight news stories?
Well, I don't have straight news stories. I just have news stories.
Well, I mean, news.
And when I don't mean straight
like sexual orientation. I mean news stories away from the show where you're just doing the news, cold, straight, down the middle. I mean, straight doesn't always mean sex. Okay, can you get your head out of the gutter, maybe? Maybe get your mind out of the gutter.
I didn't know that's where
I mean,
you
the
were
straight
going.
News story, like you're just doing the news.
Okay, I
like in a
I
straight
you.
Line.
Okay,
straight doesn't mean who you're having relations with.
Pig. I
mean, Gary.
I'm sorry.
So
wow.
if you can, have you ever had to report his orientation?
I have not.
Wow, you're not doing the job then.
I beg to differ on that. I think I am. Doc.
Okay, if you say so.
Really?
That's 888-941-PAGS. So, in other words, when I say the word straight, it always means sex to you?
No.
Wow. It's disgusting.
That's just what I thought you were talking about within the context of this conversation.
Wow. Maybe I shouldn't have the conversation. Maybe I should rethink the whole thing.
I'm sorry. No.
So in love with you. People are like, wow, is Al Green in the studio with Pags?
Nobody's saying that. Nobody's thinking that. No.
I'm telling you.
It's not Al Green. I don't know who that is. But
I'm nailing that one.
That ain't 888-941-PAGS,
joepags.com. When we come back, we'll have a story of the mayor in Fort Wayne. He's gay. He says America would never grade or something. So, Carrie, so to be fair, in the next story you do on Pete Buttigieg, will you say how gay he is?
No, I will not.
Well, you don't have to give a level of gay. Can you just say that he's gay?
No. Why do I have to? I don't have to. No.
Well, let me ask you something. Newsweek, Time Magazine, The New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, they all are reporting that he's gay. Why can't you be a journalist?
No. Well, sometimes those news organizations may not be doing their job.
Say it like this. Pete Buttigieg, the gay mayor of Fort Wayne. Can you just say it like that?
No.
Just call him the gay mayor.
No.
Could mean happy. Look up gay. It still means happy.
Yes, I understand.
When they say he's gay, do they mean that he's just happy?
No. They do not. I'm sure he is happy, but it also means something else.
With a finger in the bed, happy or sad.
Paul, we have to go to break. Paul's like, are we ever going to go to break? 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Setting a reminder before you forget.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Is as easy as that.
Yes, indeed, you do. Glad to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. Carrie, if you don't mind, if you could tell us, Pete Buttigieg, the gay mayor of Fort Wayne, Indiana, has decided that Make America Great Again doesn't make sense, and he's got a reason why. If you could, give us the straight scoop on that.
I can. From Breitbart, Democratic presidential hopeful, Pete Buttigieg took a jab at President Trump on Monday while delivering a speech in South Carolina, saying America's past was never as great as advertised. So many of the solutions, I believe, are going to come from our communities, communities like the one where I grew up, which is an industrial Midwestern city. The former South Bend, Indiana mayor stated, that is exactly the kind of place that our current president targeted with a message saying that we could find greatness by just stopping the clock and turning it back. And the past that he is promising to return us to was never as great as advertised, especially for marginalized Americans, and there's no going back anyway. In April, Buttigieg called for abolishing the death penalty and called for reparations for the descendants of slaves. It is time to face the simple fact. Capital punishment, as seen in America, has always been a discriminatory practice. We would be a fairer and safer country when we join the ranks of modern nations who have abolished the death penalty, Buttigieg said. Buttigieg previously said he considers reparation payments for slavery descendants to be an important issue. The country as a whole is effectively segregated by race, and the resources are different. There's a direct connection between exclusion in the past and exclusion in the present, he explained.
Did he mention why he's such an idiot at all in the story?
No, he didn't go into that.
Did he mention his husband or the fact that he's gay?
No, not in this story.
Did he say how much the reparation should be?
No,
how much should we give every descendant of a slave?
Not in this story, he did not.
Does he mention how much we should give to the descendants of the Union Army soldiers that freed the slaves?
No mention of that.
Does he talk about how much money we should get from the black African tribal chiefs that sold their family members into slavery? Because he might have mentioned that. I don't know. I didn't hear what he said.
No, I don't think so. No.
Does he say the word gay at all?
No.
Does he use the letters G, A, and Y in a sentence in any order?
Probably so.
Well, I'm just asking.
I'm going to go Carrie, yes
maybe,
on
maybe
that
you can do
one.
The news. I don't know.
No.
You can look through the quote and see if there is any combination
G-A-Y.
Of the letters G-A and Y. I just wonder if he used them.
No, okay.
All right. 888-941-PAGS. America was never great. We shouldn't go back to the ungreat America or something. Your thoughts on that when we come back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
1,000.
President Trump just did something that Barack Obama never would have, and I think it's going to make you very proud. I'll tell you what it is. Coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. Also, Newsmax TV, it's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have back Adam Kennedy. He is the Deputy Assistant to the President, Deputy Director of Communications. He is the guy at the White House when we want to talk about what's happening. And Adam, I always appreciate the time. Thanks.
Of course. Thanks for having me on again, Joe.
All right, so we have to talk about the new Attorney General. I mean, here's a guy who, guess, had I been under the scrutiny he was under in the Senate Judiciary Committee, which is run by Republicans, thankfully, I think I would have exploded. But the guy sat there. He was calm. He answered some of the most inane questions I think that people can come up with. I mean, I don't want to point anybody out, Adam, but Mazie Hirono, what are we talking about here? So at the end of the day, how do you feel he did? And did he accomplish what he needed to for the American people to understand that not only is he not misrepresenting the Mueller report, he actually gave a proper summary?
You know, I think so. I think the way the Attorney General has been handling this from the beginning is exactly appropriate. Let's not forget, he has been transparent from the very beginning. Yeah. As soon as he got the report, he delivered a letter describing the conclusions of the report. Then he didn't. He asked the White House, "Would you guys want to review it?" Anything like that? No review, no redactions, no executive privilege. Released the report. Then he held a press conference where he answered questions, and then he went before the Senate. This is a guy who's been willing to take questions, willing to be under scrutiny, and has stood up on it the entire time.
Compare that to Loretta Lynch on the Hillary Clinton matter. You can't call it an investigation. Compare that to Eric Holder on Fast and Furious or any number of things that were going on in the Obama administration. I mean, you're talking about closed doors, cloaking, hiding, compared to full transparency, not any executive privilege on this claim by the president, right?
Oh, absolutely. You're exactly right about that. And, you know, what really actually infuriates me is Attorney General Barr is extremely well respected. This is his second time being Attorney General. Yeah. He was confirmed on a bipartisan basis. And people are trying to smear his name and his reputation because they don't like the outcome of an investigation. On the other hand, if Eric Holder, who literally said he was Obama's wingman, yeah, and that they were bros, and somehow that doesn't raise an eyebrow.
They're but bros. They're right, bros. Can you imagine if Bill Barr? Friends. Can you imagine if Bill Barr would have said, "I am bros with Donald Trump"? They would have tried to put him in jail.
It really raises serious questions, yeah, about either the memory or the judgment about the media. That they're trying to raise questions about the character and judgment of the Attorney General Barr when we've had such recent history,
yeah,
showing what it's actually like when you have an attorney general who is in the tank for a president, not for the American people.
It is Adam Kennedy. He's the deputy assistant to the president, deputy director of communications for the White House. As we watch this, Nancy Pelosi came out a couple of days later. Mazie Hirono said it to his face that he's lying. He's lying under oath. He's lying to Congress. He should be held in contempt. In fact, I guess they voted Wednesday, or they're looking at voting Wednesday to hold him in contempt. When Nancy Pelosi was asked, when the Speaker of the House was asked, what exactly did he lie about, she didn't really say. She just sort of said he did. He just lied. And it's something about what's in the report, whether Mueller said this or knew that or the other thing happened. And it really was based on, and tell me, you correct me if I'm wrong here, Adam, you know, but it seems to be based on the New York Times and the Washington Post reporting that insiders close to people who worked on the Mueller team said they were dissatisfied because of what Barr said. Am I relating that correctly? Anonymous sources of anonymous sources say that somebody who knew Barr's grandson's daughter was unhappy about something?
You know, I deal with this issue every day, and I'm just as confused as you. I mean, yeah. I'm not sure what he lied about. I'm not sure what he got close to lying about. And let's not forget who they're accusing of lying here. This is a guy who has dedicated most of his life to serving the public. This is a guy who has been roundly applauded and lauded by the legal community, yet all of a sudden they're calling him a liar because of what? I'm not exactly sure.
It's maddening. As a former journalist myself, and thankfully I get to be more of a commentator now, that's not how you do the job. I never, ever, ever, never used an anonymous source. And maybe I just didn't do the job right, but that to me was unverifiable, and I wanted people to believe what I was saying. Is there any way we're going to get this media to actually start doing the correct job? I mean, we actually have the New York Times today saying, we went to the border. I mean, this is today. And we think the president should get the money he wants for the fence because there's an emergency there, while the media continues to report there's no emergency.
Yeah, it really shows kind of the state of the media and journalism, really, when you have all these people go down who used to say, oh, there's no emergency, and they say there's an emergency. I mean, Jim Acosta did the same thing. But then they seem to forget that they went to visit the border and all of a sudden it's not an emergency.
Adam, I have to interrupt because you bring up Jim Acosta, who I tried to avoid. I promise you, I tried to avoid saying the guy's name. You did this, not me.
I apologize.
So this guy takes a piece of video and he's standing next to a border barrier. He's standing next to a wrought iron fence telling people. He's telling people there's no crisis. Of course, because there's a fence. So again.
I wonder if it has to do with that big wall in the background behind you, Jim.
He was posing with the wall. So, you're right. I mean, the state of journalism is abysmal. It's in really bad shape. And little by little, we're starting to hear the media going, well, yeah, we said the jobs were coming back. Well, yeah, we said unemployment was lower. Yeah, maybe there really is a crisis on the border. Does that buoy you at all? Does that buoy the president at all? Or do you still not trust him?
Well, I think it shows how well the president's doing that even journalists have to be, you know, begrudgingly say, okay, so maybe the president's right about this.
Right.
But we still have to look at his tax returns, I guess, for some reason.
It makes
sense.
Sure,
maybe the president's right about the border, but who knows what's going on during his call with Putin. I mean, at the end of the day, they're looking for every excuse possible not to talk about the president's successes.
Right.
And instead, I ask all these hypotheticals that nobody could possibly answer.
Let me ask you something off the beaten path. It's Adam Kennedy. He's He's the deputy assistant to the president, deputy director of communications. I just counted it before the phone call. There are now 3,700 people running for the Democrats in 2020.
And the number, I think you may have missed a few, Jeff.
3,704. So I'm watching this, and Bernie Sanders, who was the heir apparent, is now losing by 32 points to creepy Joe Biden, who might lose to Pete, the mayor from Fort Wayne, that every piece of the media has to say he's gay every time you mention him, who might be losing to Pocahontas, who might be losing to Spartacus. Is the president sitting back and watching this and just sort of licking his chops? Does he pay any attention to it at all? Does he care? What's the mindset in the White House when you see all of these people? De Blasio is going to jump in now because of the wonderful job he's done as mayor of New York, I guess. So what's the atmosphere in the White House when you see all these people throwing their names in?
It seems like maybe de Blasio is doing his own escape from New York.
Is that what it is?
I don't think the president's scared of anyone. You know, the president faced an extraordinarily qualified, competent Republican field in the primaries, and then went on to beat what everybody thought was going to be, you know, the heir apparent and Hillary Clinton, without really breaking a sweat. The president's one of the hardest working campaigners that has existed in American politics. He has some of the most successful policies of any president, with the evidence to back it up. You know, I think the president's attitude at this point is, you know, bring it on.
And I don't blame him. Even Al Green, not the singer, but the representative from Houston, actually said, I believe it was yesterday, the day before, in the House of Representatives, we have to impeach him or he's going to win re-election. Adam, is that a reason to impeach somebody because you're afraid he's going to win an election? Really? Is that the mindset, do you think, the entire time from the Democrats, that all of this impeachment stuff is just to stop him from winning again?
And what's particularly ironic about that is that I thought the Democrats were all about making sure everybody could vote, maybe vote twice for some Democrats.
In Chicago, a lot of people dead before voting,
But they're all about, supposedly, democracy and making sure the little person gets heard. Yeah. But then when it comes to a decision that they don't want somebody to have a choice in, now all of a sudden they want impeachment. Now all of a sudden they want judges to intervene. I mean, the fact is that this is pure political theater for the Democrats. This is nothing about the truth. This is nothing about an honest investigation. What this is about is trying to score points and try to make sure that the American people don't have an honest choice when it comes to election day. And, you know, the president's not going to back down.
It was a bit of honesty from Al Green that I'm sure Nancy Pelosi pulled him aside and said, what are you doing? Don't tell him the plan.
We have those secret meetings for a reason.
That's right. We're not supposed to tell people what we talked about. It's Deputy Assistant to the President, Deputy Director of Communications, Adam Kennedy. Adam, last question. Let's circle back to where we started. Any concern whatsoever over what Robert Mueller may or may not say, should he show up in front of some House or Senate panel, and should he be asked questions that Barr has already answered? Because those are the allegations that Mueller somehow is going to contradict what Barr has said.
Well, then he'd be contradicting his own report. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people forget is that this entire time, the Attorney General has been working off of Mueller's report. He came to the conclusion, him and the Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein, who the Democrats seem to have forgotten exist now that he's come to the same conclusion as the Attorney General, both came to the same conclusion based on the evidence Mueller suggested in his report. They didn't question that evidence, didn't say, oh, some of it's right, some of it's wrong. They said, we believe Mueller. We were looking at his evidence. No collusion, no obstruction. I think all Mueller can do is repeat what's in his over 400 pages of a written report. I mean, what new could he possibly have to add is the real question. I think that's what the president's been speaking to as well.
It's a great question. And the one part that the Democrats keep on hanging on, and I'll let you go in a second, I know how busy you are, I appreciate you. But the one thing they're hanging on is that Mueller in the report does not come to a conclusion on obstruction. He left it up to Bill Barr. He left it up to the DOJ and up to the Attorney General. The Attorney General then read the information and said, I've concluded there was no obstruction. Are they at odds at all, those two?
No, I think only in the mind of the Democrats who, because Mueller didn't do what most prosecutors do, which is say there was a crime or there was no crime.
Right.
They're trying to take that and say, oh, there must have been a crime because he didn't say there wasn't a crime.
How dumb is that?
I don't know what justice system that is, but it's not the American one.
It would be like a police officer showing up in my studio right now, giving me a ticket for speeding. You can't prove that you weren't speeding, and because I don't know that you weren't speeding,
let me just give you the ticket. Courthouse and tell me that you weren't speeding. Wait, what?
That doesn't make any sense. All right, I'm looking forward to hopefully Mueller will sit down. I think that it's going to be very much like all the misreporting about Comey. Comey actually had to admit that yes, he told the president that he wasn't the target. He had to admit everything that the president said was true and made a fool out of those who were questioning him. Every single time they strike out, but they keep on coming up to bat, which is the strangest thing. Adam, thanks a million. Can we do it again soon?
Oh, Joe, that'd be great.
It is Adam Kennedy, Deputy Assistant to the President, Deputy Director of Communications for the White House. Thanks a million. We're back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
A 90-41.
At the top in 30 minutes past the hour.
The most important news story.
If it matters to you.
I really like getting updates.
It matters to us. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS. Can you do me a favor, please, and see the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals appears to have made a ruling on the president's asylum order, where he's saying that those seeking asylum have to stay in Mexico until their hearing date or whatever.
Let's see.
Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco, one would assume, would go against the president. It appears as though they might not have, which is interesting. So we'll have that for you in a moment. Let me tell you about ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is the VPN service, a virtual private networking service that I use. ExpressVPN is going to help you to serve securely on the internet. When you're on the internet, your IP address is available to the websites where you go. Your internet service provider, your ISP, can see where you're going. They can collect that data. They can sell it to people who buy that data. And at the end of the day, you're not safe. And then add on top of that, hackers who want to get into your system, find out who you are, steal your identity, steal your stuff, get your passwords and all that. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data, hiding your public IP address. Turning on ExpressVPN is just one click away. And for less than $7 a month, you get the same ExpressVPN protection I have, and I really enjoy it. ExpressVPN, rated number one by TechRadar. Protect your online activity today. Find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/pags. ExpressVPN.com/pags for 3 months free with a one-year package. ExpressVPN.com/pags to learn more right now. All right, Carrie, what do you have for me? Anything?
I do. I found this from Reuters, but it happened last month. The U.S. government can continue, at least temporarily, to send asylum seekers back to Mexico after President Donald Trump scored a rare ruling in his favor on Friday from the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the asylum program was said to be shut down at 8 p.m. Eastern Time by an order issued on Monday by U.S. District Court Judge Richard Seaborg. But the Trump administration had asked for the Court of Appeals in San Francisco to intervene. And the Court of Appeals issued a two-paragraph order saying the lower court injunction was temporarily stayed while the parties prepare to submit arguments next week on the government's request for a longer stay, and it would remain in place for the months-long appeals process. And the government told the Court of Appeals in papers filed late Thursday that the United States faced a humanitarian and security crisis at the southern border and needed the policy to deal with surging number of refugees.
Yeah, I'm getting this from OANN, which is One America News Network. They're saying it's breaking now. I mean, just 9 minutes ago.
Okay.
That the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled the Trump administration can continue. So what you just said is true, according to this tweet by a guy named Alex Salvi. I guess he works there. But maybe this was after they had further arguments. The court still ruled in favor of the administration being allowed to do it, I guess. And it appears as though it's something new today. And again, it just happened a little while ago. And the dateline is today. So who the hell knows? I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea. Hmm. But I like it. I like the ruling, and I'm very surprised that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals would ever rule in favor of this administration. But it looks like they have, actually, again. Bill, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hey, Jill, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I used to live in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay.
And I hate to correct you, and Carrie's right, and you're mistaken. Peter Buttigieg was the mayor of South Bend, not Fort Wayne.
South Bend sounds good. Why don't you call a guy Buttigieg? Why would you call him that? Why would you call him Buttigieg? What's the matter with you?
I thought that was his name.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. He thinks his name is Buttigieg. Carrie, is that his name?
No, it is not.
What was I saying, Fort Wayne, and it's actually South Bend?
Yeah. South Bend, Indiana.
Maybe. Is there any chance now when you read that story next time you'll make a mistake and call him that?
No. No chance.
Even when you're reading the straight news?
No chance. No. Nope.
Say Buttigieg.
No, I will not.
Say it.
No. No. No, no, I'm not going to say that one. No. No.
What's the matter with Bill calling in with that ridiculous call, Buttigieg? Mm-hmm.
And you want me to say it.
John, what's going on? Hi, I've got less than a minute. Let's go.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on your show.
You bet.
Yeah, a couple of things real quick. The whole reparations and everything, all of this is a orchestrated campaign of disinformation and misinformation. They are going to continue to be in the tank until they get rid of the president who was duly elected one way or another. And you had a young lady on Friday night that illustrated the campus issues where, again, the voter intimidation, the conservative intimidation on college campuses and such, we've gone from deplorable to being dangerous. And she was accurate to use that word because, anybody that dares to speak out against them, you know, we can call them idiots, we can call them lunatics, they're going to call us dangerous. And all the social media is going to silence anybody, conservative or moderate.
You bet.
What I'm concerned about.
I gave you like a minute and a half. I had less than a minute, John. We'll talk soon. Call back again. Let's do some pop culture. I think John wanted to spend a little more time, Polo, but I don't want to take more of your time. What's up?
All right, so this Lori Loughlin case. I guess there may be something that may help her. Over the weekend, really? this poster came out that, and some people thought was fake because the thing is talking about USC women's rowing and the tryouts. It says no experience, no problem.
But why would you get a free ride though if you have no experience? I mean, that's still questionable.
I don't know, but who knows? We'll see.
You could help. We'll see. All right, that's Polo. That's Carrie. Sam is up. We've got Russell, Joe Pag. See you tomorrow. Bye. This is.